Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard.
Hey, yo. I'm going to tell you something right now, dog.
What?
2021, you doing your thing already. Holy shit, dude. Yo, they not 2021 ain't not, not messing around.
Yo, like, frame up. Frame up. What's this new camera angle? I don't like it.
Well, I'm shake closer. Shit up. I'm closer to the outside of the area where my... closet is, and so now I got the Wi-Fi is a little bit better over here.
Oh, I see. Do you have the box?
I do have the box.
Do you? You're excited open about it. This? You didn't open it, right?
I forgot about it already.
Okay, good. I'm gonna invite Bill in because he's here and he's gonna be part of the live opening on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Bill Lawrence here. We always invite Bill in early because he's special.
There he is.
Bill!
Thunderous applause,
Bill Lawrence
Dan.
In the house.
Thunderous applause, Dan. Do you like your thunderous applause?
Yeah, I need it. I run on compliments. Hey, guys.
Bill, hi, handsome.
Bill, you're the only person we allow in early before we sing the theme song because you're so special.
Because he might sometimes count in and then we go into the theme song.
This but is also, cool. Bill's so funny that we're like, no, we want the whole show to be extra funny, so let him do the whole thing.
That is a lot of pressure. I mean, it's a lot of pressure.
By the way, before we even start, I got to say, this is a very funny episode.
Yeah. Yo, I laughed a lot.
I laughed out loud and had to pause and write down laughing out loud because there's a lot of funny shit in this episode.
There was quite a few funny parts in this episode. Quite a few.
Can I tell you what will make you guys laugh? Is that because, you know, you were nice enough to invite me late. And so it's a good challenge for me to try and remember an episode without watching it like I usually do beforehand, and I went to one of the websites on Scrubs, and just looking at the pictures of it, I remembered how funny the episode. One of the pictures is Scott Foley in a jukebox.
Yeah, yeah.
One was Tara Reid was a cigarette butt in one. Yeah, and yeah. Like this episode was insane.
Yeah, yeah. It's insane. Scott Foley, it's very stoner. It's a very stoner episode. Scott Foley and Sarah and Elliot are playing hide and seek in the bar
in the world.
They run into the bar, and because you're highlighting how cute a couple they are together, and he goes, guys, we're playing hide and seek. No one tell her where I am. And then I go, she goes, where is he? And I go, I don't know. And then I see it. He's in the jukebox. He's managed to get inside the jukebox.
But then he gives you the shh. Sorry, and then I, also yeah, like,
and then I go, and then I go, he's a dynamite hider.
That's so dumb.
It's so dumb, but I laughed out loud.
I laughed, yo, dude. Come on, there's so many funny parts in this.
There's so much so funny many. Shit. Wait, before we start, we have one special thing, Bill, that you're a part of. Donald is going to live open his Christmas present that finally arrived.
All right, let me go get it.
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
Okay, now. Bill, on the last episode, which you haven't heard yet because it hasn't aired, we talked about how you probably know about StockX because your kids are obsessed with sneakers.
Yep.
So I got these on StockX for Donald. They had to go get certified.
Right. In the words of Matthew McConaughey.
All right, listen, they've been certified as real.
All right.
They're limited edition. This is very exciting. He's opening, everybody. He's opening. I didn't take the time to wrap it because who cares?
Because it came from StockX. And it says it on the outside. I just want to put you out there with it. Oh, buddy. Buddy.
Buddy.
I have these already.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I'm just fucking with you. These are fly as fuck, dude. Holy shit.
They're
Lando Calrissian sneakers, y'all.
They're limited edition Lando Calrissian Adidas.
The best Star Wars character ever in the history of Star Wars.
Take him out, dude. They say his favorite. They say his lines on the side of his most famous line on the side of the shoe.
Yeah, they've been opened already, so there's no reason.
Yeah, because they had to get approved, bro.
Well, so
they
what?
Had to get, I mean, they had to I'm get verified. Wear these at some I can't point. Believe you said you had them. I freaked out.
That's my. By the way, that's a well performed moment.
It was very well performed.
I thought it was real. Oh, those are good shoes.
Wow. Oh shit!
Ooh, those are clean.
These are like you got Cloud Cities, dude.
Dude, you got Lando. You got Lando on the tongue, but Donald, look at the lines on the inside of the shoe on the side. It says something about the ship, about the Falcon.
You know, that ship saved my life quite a few times. She's the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy.
Nice. Love it.
There you go, buddy.
Wow.
Hey, Donald, that's from Zach and me, so we hope
you
like
Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. You see how that works? You see how that works, guys? And you see what I did automatically? I immediately thanked Bill. I just want to tell you that, Joelle and Daniel, that's the proper response when someone says that's from Zach and I. That's how you do.
That's funny.
This is how it works. Thank you, Bill.
Bill, I gave Joelle and Daniel presents, and of course Donald didn't. And Donald tried to be like, that's from both of us. And I was like, no. But you know what? Because it's Bill, Donald, that is from both of us.
You know what'll make you guys happy? The only shoe-related gift I've ever been part of it'll circle it back around. So, and maybe Donald know who this is. I'll have Henry come tell us. Henry walked into my closet and he saw the Scrubs 100th episode Nikes. You know, I had them unworn, untouched. And then he was watching some whatever version of Cribs or whatever, but as some hip hop artist or rapper was showing his shoe collection, and somebody in our crew must have sold those because he had one of the shoes he highlighted on TV.
No way.
He's like, these are the Scrubs 100 Nikes, and they're priceless because they're ungettable. And Henry processed that, and then I went back to my closet, and my shoes were gone.
Yeah, check this out.
And they're literally on a homemade display case in his closet.
I love
it.
It
says priceless next to it.
I love it.
Oh, you wore yours.
Oh, Donald still got them.
Well, Donald wore them. Mine are unworn, too.
Nice. Scrubs 100. Sure.
Yeah.
Ungettable. That's amazing.
They're probably on eBay for some other crew members who were like, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Before we, just about those shoes real quick. When you were coming up as an actor and you got to do a lot of work, when you were like, I got to do a lot of work as a very, very young actor. Like before I was 21, I was paying for high school and all of that shit. Right. But through acting. And when you would get the crew gift, the crew jacket, that always was something, right? And, you know, when you're young, you wear that shit because, you know, you're proud of it and you want everybody to see. My one mistake with those sneakers is I wore them.
Joel just posted that they're $2,000 online, those shoes, right?
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, that's probably not worn. I wore those things.
Is it tacky for me to have about 200 pairs of those made real quick? and then we just fly that stuff out there. I mean, we'll do good things with the money.
Stock. Well, that's fly. Dude, it's still the scrub. It's still the scrubs.
Listen.
Dude, Bill's, that would be dope. Anyway.
Bill's son, Henry, that he's talking about is very into sneakers, like a lot of teenage boys. And I was going over their house, and I took a moment to look in my closet. I collect sneakers. And I was like, I'm going to put on like a pair that will really impress Henry. And I literally thought about this. And I put on a pair, and I was like, all right, Henry's going to notice, and he's going to think I'm cool Uncle Zach. And I walk in the door. He's like, those are the lamest version of those.
These are brutal. Oh my god.
Yes. Yes.
He's such a dick. You raised the dick.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know if cruel. I could love him more because he's my son, but I love him more. Wow. Like, oh god, I want to just eat him up. He's so perfect.
Anyway, Donald, you better wear those. Don't just put them on the closet.
No, these will get rocked. These will be
hell yeah.
These will be put to the test.
I thought you'd like them because they have Lando quotes on the side. Yes, Bill.
I have a good quick thing to say before, as a way for one of you to count yourselves in.
Yeah.
Randomly, my wife and I saw Charlie Puth yesterday, and he started talking about how much fun it was to work with you two knuckleheads on this theme song.
Yeah.
And then said. He's like, I felt like it was all them. They're so talented. But he did say, I do feel like I was a huge champion of making sure that they said the title of their podcast in their theme song lyrics. He's like, dude, you got to say what it is. And that to me, it made me so happy now when I hear the end of that song of the Zach and Donald Scrubs Reef. It's literally word for word.
Yeah.
The most awkward possible title to fit into a song.
Well, we have a new challenge for Charlie. We're going to do a dating segment for Joel. And we're going to call up Charlie and have him write a little segment song.
That boy's voice is so silky. Bill, you remember your birthday?
Yeah.
When he sang for your birthday?
Perfect pitch. Perfect pitch, you guys. He's got perfect pitch.
Two years ago.
Yeah, two years ago. 1 year, I judged time by my daughter's boyfriends, and he was 2 years ago.
Bill, count us in, because America loves it when you count.
All right, but, you know, I can't, I'm not.
Oh, you have to be told not to. Yeah. Donald, come on, tell him not to. All right. Hey, Billy doesn't want you to. All right, ready?
Yeah. Who are you, by the way, is this the type of thing that I could count us in, or do you guys usually do that?
No, Bill, you cannot. It's only the host that can count
in.
It's a host activity.
Don't you ever.
We're begging
you. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories. Now you all should know.
Bill, on Twitter today, someone said, I had no idea you were involved with, to me, I had no idea you were involved with Ted Lasso. I love it so much. And I said, well, it was mostly me and Jason, but we got some guidance from Bill. And I thought you'd appreciate that. I'm spinning your podcast joke for Ted Lasso.
Unacceptable.
Tell us about, hold on, Billy, please. We're doing a very famous podcast right now.
That's going to be awkward that your dog and I have the same name, and I'm going to answer Billy from now on whenever you say it.
Hold on. Let me let my dog out. She's crying. Come on,
Billy, please.
While we're on a brief break, Donald, have you ever worn a pair of NMDs, the style of shoe that those Landos are?
No.
They're some of the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn.
I've never really worn Adidas, to be honest with you. The only pair of Adidas I've ever owned were the Patrick Ewings back in the day.
Okay, cool.
Before he had the Ewings, had the Patrick Ewings. They were the orange, they were like the orange, white, and blue.
Hell yeah.
Pat Ewing's back. I remember standing in a little tiny in my mom's bathroom because she had the mirror. Uh-huh. With some raggedy ass clothes on, but some clean ass Pat Ewing on, looking at the shoes like that shit made me look good. And I got a haircut that day too, so I know I looked fly. I was hell like, "Yo, yeah. I'm going God outside."
Damn. I love it.
Very, very funny show, and I still have the striped sweater that I'm walking up to the security guard named Irv. Bill, you didn't get a chance to watch, but I don't know if you recall.
I do. Irv, I remember Irv because I think he tried to smother or kill someone eventually.
Yes.
I think
oh that's my what God.
Yes, Irv, he does.
So Irv is the security guard, which we've never seen before. We've only seen Leonard Randall Winston with a hook hand and an afro. And
are we not going to do America's favorite part
sorry.
Of the show?
Sorry.
This is my favorite part.
I let the dog out and I got distracted. Donald, yes, please. Let me get my counter. I'm sorry, America and Earth.
Now I'm going to fuck up because of you.
No, you never fuck up.
You got it. Come on.
This is all your fault. This is all your fault.
Ready.
I love this part.
Mark Gassett, go.
Turk and Carla are joined at the hip. The janitor's got a new job. Dr. Cox might have a crush. Elliot and Sean have reunited and JD makes out with a cigarette. Breaking up is so, so hard to do. And no one ever really wants to waste someone's time. But we also hate confrontation. To overcome this fear is debilitating at times. And when it finally comes to a head, if not taken care of early, it can cause an awful mess. What's crazy is how fast the pressure is relieved once you step up and face the situation. Mm. I've learned bravery is way more rewarding than cowardice.
Yes, Queen. Yes, 41 queen. Seconds for Graph Guy. Yes, well, the janitor's in a real sticky position here because he's gotten Irv's job and he's his main goal as the security guard is to guard these one doors that Kelso keeps breaking through to go to his car.
Oh, yeah, someone. Right. He doesn't even know it first.
He doesn't know it for right.
That's an emergency exit. It's a fire hazard in the hospital.
Right.
It's so important to say that, too, or the joke doesn't land. Like, he's a tough guy with Turk and Carla about the situation.
Yes.
He's telling them how, you know, he can't wait to catch this person. He's even asked security to handle it, but they're more worried about the people that are stealing and harvesting organs.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I love that Herb's in charge of finding out who's stealing organs from the hospital. But anyway, so the janitor gets has a friend who's a bank teller or something, and he puts the one of the dye packs in the alarm somehow.
No, but this is after the janitor gets the job.
Right.
So this is what I was saying. The janitor gets Irv's job because Irv is now fired for smothering a patient.
Or for attempted murder, yeah.
Right, yes. For who wronged
him. By the way,
you and Judy,
you and Carla tackle Irv, and Judy sticks a needle
in his neck. In his neck. To sedate him.
You and Judy tackling Irv and putting a needle in his neck was hilarious.
The guy called him pudgy or something, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I'm jumping ahead. There's a really funny moment, Bill, when JD passes Irv and says, "Morning, Irv," and JD's just walking, and someone parks in a red zone where they're not supposed to park. And even though JD's walking, Irv starts to run, but because he's a heavy and old, he can't really run that fast. But JD's just walking, and then you see JD arrive, and then Irv, even though he was running, arrives second.
No, but wait, hold up.
It's a very funny joke. Yeah, because you see Irv run out.
Yeah,
and then
he runs
JD
past
just walks.
You. He runs past you.
All right, hey, you guys. I'll tell you some trivia that even Scrubs Wiki guy won't know. I was excited when you said which episode it was. You said my choosiest choice of all, because there's certain titles and certain keys that I can tell you, even without remembering it right off the bat, that it was going to be a goofy, joke-filled episode. Uh-huh. Because we would never, you know, title one of the serious episodes like that. And my choosiest choice of all was because this is season 3, and we've been doing this for a long time. And this is right when, and you guys know I bitch and moan, and this is right when in the writer's room, I started to get mad that all the voiceovers at the end of the shows were like, at the end of the day, you make decisions, and these decisions lead to choices, and those choices affect the things that you do, right?
Right.
And so this exists because then I would riff, and those choices are the hardest things you'll ever do, because sometimes the choosiest choice is the choosiest choice of all. And so when I...
So
So when I see a title, I see a title like this, I know it's one of our silly episodes.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because it is, you know, as the fans all know, some episodes, you know, that you span the spectrum in tone, and some are just packed with silliness and jokes, and this is one of them. I mean, there's not a moment when Turk and Carla aren't arm in arm for the whole episode, except the moment when you tackle Irv and put a needle in his neck.
Mm. And
even then you're together, but you don't have your arms around each other.
But even it all starts when you say, do you ask them for advice, or do they just decide to give it?
Yeah, there's some commentary like, you don't want to ask a couple who are about to get married, because they think they have advice on romance for everyone. And then
Turk latches on, and then all of a sudden they connect and speak it at the same time, and from that moment on, they're together.
That's really funny.
And by the way, it's a little precursor for where it'll become, was it Tarla or what was your name in Princess Bride?
Right. I don't remember.
The fairy tale episode.
Yes. Yeah, connected to Tarla.
Tarla, right?
Joel, Carl Hybrid.
I didn't remember this episode at all. Like, I sincerely did not. I didn't remember one joke from
this
episode.
You have a big part in this episode.
Dude,
you're in a lot of scenes.
I didn't remember. I got to tell you something. There's something was wrong with me this year, because at the rap party, Bellamy comes up to me and is like, hey, what a great year. And I didn't recognize her. And I was like,
a PSA for not having too much weed.
For not smoking weed, yeah.
Turla. Sorry, it was Turla.
That's Turla.
You know what I remembered, by the way? Because I remember things in terms of arguments that we had in the writer's room and stuff. And I remembered one moment, because there was a contingency of people in the writer's room that thought that Turk was too mean to say, Carl, I would never sleep with your sister. She's hideous.
Well, Danny's back, and it's a funny. So JD, just to remind everyone,
not because I love you, not because I'm a faithful man to you.
Yeah, if she was hot, it'd be different.
It'd be a different story. It'd be a different story.
And by the way, they were correct, because remember, the argument in the writers' room at the time was, aren't we eventually going to have Carla's sisters on? And we did. You know, you guys got married eventually, and we had those. You know what I mean? So,
but none of them were hideous, though.
No, they were babes.
Yeah.
So just to remind the audience, if you haven't watched the episode recently, that JD's just had a one-night stand with Elliot, and Sean has arrived at their door. And so Elliot...
And has walked into their apartment.
Yeah, he walked in.
Like he owns the place.
And so JD, to try and make Elliot jealous, gets back together with Danny. Now, there's a funny line I thought I early on when JD says, or voiceover, when you run into someone you used to date, you either find them annoying or enough time has passed that you've idealized everything about them. I thought that was a really good line, Bill, because I think everyone can relate to that. Like when you run into an ex, there's a fork in the road. It's like, are you still like, ugh, or are you like, oh, maybe they weren't so bad after all?
Maybe I made a huge mistake, and then sometimes, and that's what we were doing here. You go, I made a huge mistake. It was a different time, and you go, let's go out for drinks, and you have one nice night, and then almost immediately you're like, oh, no, this is the worst person I've ever met.
I hate my girlfriend.
He quickly doesn't like her. I mean, he's just solely using her to try and make Elliot jealous. And
not even to make Elliot jealous. Elliot doesn't remember her. He says that he's back with her after he gets upstairs, and she's like, oh, Danny, what's your last name again?
And he goes, like, I should know that.
I should know that. and then JD goes, blonde hair, oh! And then, she goes, raspy voice, blonde hair. Like, they're both trying to figure out who Danny is. Like, dude, yeah. I was so, dude, this is like perfect stoner humor.
Yes.
Like, if you have the humor of someone who giggles or gets confused and then is like, what the fuck just happened? This is the show for you at this point, man. Because we are off the rails, man.
Well, Danny
says, and there's a 20 person band in at the end.
Yeah, at the end of the show.
I don't know. Bill, I know you got the AMA certification for most realistic medical show, but I don't know that Cox would let a 30 person band in the ICU.
No. This one, by the way, worked backwards from the song, because, you know, we always went search for songs. We all loved that polyphonic spread. The band was so cool.
Right.
And so kind of just such a vibe. And everybody was like, screw it. Let's figure out a way that all bazillion of them are in here.
That was awesome.
It was really fun.
That's crazy,
but like there were though. there were platforms. Like Cox Cox had arranged for like a PA system. There were microphones.
Yeah, yeah. He built a scaffolding. There's balloons I think dropped.
All for his crush.
Adam Bernstein directed this, by the way, and Mike Schwartz is the name on the script. There's a very funny scene where JD has sex with Danny, and you're the episode before. There's been this clearly like making love, like JD and Elliot are like, it's like beautifully done, like they're so into each other. Then in this episode, she tells him that she likes it rough, and he's like, I don't really, and she screams at him. And he slaps her across the face because he screams back.
It looks like he punches her. It doesn't look like he smacks her. It looks like he decks her.
He goes, oh my God, Danny, I'm so sorry. I thought that's what you wanted. And she's like, it is harder.
And then
he squeezes his nipples. He goes, it's like a pro wrestling match in bed. And then he comes out later and he's got his areolas are all puffy and red. And he's got scratch marks across his chest like he's in a horror movie. And she's, by the way, she's smoking. And he goes, you didn't used to smoke. She goes, I like smoking after sex. And he goes, and during.
And during. And then she shrugs it off and she nods it off like, oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
Danny is smoking while they're having sex. By the way, I have a question, Bill. I think Tara Reid must have been a smoker. That must have been the inspiration for all this?
Tara Reid was a smoker?
She must have been.
I think she did.
Oh, are you
I
being think sarcastic? She I think he's being a dick, sarcastic.
Yeah, I know.
Well, yeah. So I think you wrote that in because I must have said Tara's great and everything, but cigarettes and the cigarette breath and everything. Yeah. Like, I'm so not into that. And you guys must have been like, oh, okay, we're running with that.
And by the way, some props to Tara Reid for being a young lady that embraced. I'm like, hey, let's do this shit that you're just unapologetically this character. Yeah. And she just went with it, man. It was really funny.
She loved it, by the way. When we first had her on the show, she was like, oh, is this the one where I'm dressed as a cigarette? That was hilarious. And so she was totally game and funny.
She had a lot of fun. You could tell she was having a lot of fun.
By the way, when I make out with her as a cigarette in the fantasy, and then I exhale, smoke comes out of my mouth.
Oh, just the worst, man. Worst.
It's so funny, but that's what it feels like to make out with a smoker.
Yes. Did you guys have conversations in the because this tripped me out also. The janitor is now a security guard, but are we still calling him the janitor in the show?
Yeah.
I don't even think it's the janitor. It's just janitor.
Janitor.
The best version of that for all time is it's still, and you guys now have to look for it, Sarah Chalk's funniest line reading whenever she's in a one-on-one scene with him. She goes, janitor!
Janitor!
And it kept, every season it got higher. It was by season
janitor,
eight, it was like,
janitor!
Janitor!
So
I have to know, Daniel, Joel, were either of you smokers?
For like a little bit in early college.
Literally the exact same when I thought it would be cool.
Switched to marijuana sophomore year. It never looked back.
Did you ever smoke cigarettes, Bill?
No. I was cool on my own. The
Woo!
I didn't need
to pay money for my coolness.
But you have smoked a cigarette before.
Yeah, man, I've done most everything before, Donald. I mean, let's be honest. Okay. Come on. I'm an old man.
We won't go down that road with you, Bill. I'm so sad. One of the biggest regrets of my life is that I never met single partying Manhattan Bill.
That might have saved your life, buddy.
I know, but if I had a time machine and I could, like, we're watching the show called Dark on Netflix now. It's all about time travel. And it's really interesting, and I recommend it.
Is it
if you
theory?
Like.
Is it theory?
What does that mean, theory?
Like, does
theory.
It make you have to think about theory, or
it's very not? Yeah. I'm sure if you're smarter than I am, you can. It's very deep, and I can't even keep track of it. I have to pause and be like to go to Florence and be like, wait, who is he now? Because it's all jumping. It's jumping lots of years.
Are they using time travel as a like? Are they? Can you theoretically explain how it's happening? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like
in
Back to the Future, they gave you an excuse, and it's easy to follow it because of the flux capacitors.
It's about wormholes. Yeah. It's about wormholes. But it's one of those shows. It's a German show, and it's clearly written by very, very bright people. And it's one of those shows where I think if you're super smart scientist, time travel person, you can appreciate it on a different level than I am. I'm the one pausing, going, asking my girlfriend, "Wait, what just happened?" Because, but anyway, it's still really good. It's like Lost in a way. The show Lost in a way, in that it's very mysterious and good. But I digress. My sentence was, if I could time travel, I would like to visit with single partying 20 something Bill in New York City.
That you look. That's a lot like running into an ex-girlfriend, though, to bring it all back, which is now in retrospect, they're fun memories. But there's also this, the reality of like, oh yeah. My God, this guy's relentlessly annoying. Why is he talking so fast?
Why is that bleach blonde hair guy talking so fast? I don't want to go to your loft party.
Dude,
he's not saying anything funny, but he thinks he's really funny. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad and embarrassing. Oh,
I've heard wonderful anecdotes. So the janitor says that he has his own nightstick, and he has it because his father, Donald, you did the best setup here. It was the most classic alley-oops. You guys like it? I'm using the term alley-oop. The janitor goes, I got this nightstick from my father. And Donald goes, was he a police officer? And he goes, no, he was a cat trainer.
By the way, no one was ever that happy, but Neil Flynn embraced it. We had a weird thing with the janitor of there's a real intense dislike of animals in there. And I don't know if you guys noticed that. He has a dead squirrel army.
Yeah.
He made a rabbit into a salt and pepper shaker.
I think the rabbit was a pepper grinder, Bill. Because you would spin the rabbit's head. I don't think you could make this joke in 2021, Bill, but you
I don't think so either.
The prop master took a taxidermy bunny and put it on a pepper grinder and just took off the head so that the head would spin to grind. That's one prop I'd really like to have.
But like, also, I don't know if you remember, because I could have. This is a show I still feel like I would watch today, even if I didn't sell it myself. Once we established that Neil, the janitor, had a squirrel army, of taxidermied squirrels in his garage, we would occasionally just have him see a squirrel in a different episode, and he would make eye contact with it and say, "Wrong day, wrong time, my friend." And he would throw like a blanket over it. And then you would always cut to him in his garage having meetings with hundreds of taxidermied squirrels.
Oh, my God.
I would watch that all day.
Oh, my God. I remember that episode where it cut to him lecturing the taxidermied squirrels. There were so many of them.
Yeah, and a lot of them had different points. And he would say, I understand that, Keith, but that's not what we're doing right now.
God. We got to have Neil back on.
Yeah.
Joel, will you remind me? And let's find an episode that he has a lot to do. This would have been a funny one, but we got to remember to have.
He says, you know, my dad raised cats, trained cats, and then after that, he's walking away, and I go meow,
right,
and he comes running back in with the stick, ready to.
And then he says something like, you guys stay here, as though it's dangerous. And he walks off. All right. So I wanted to say, so I have sex with Danny, and then I come in the living room and you guys are being all judgmental. And you go, we know your Danny's in there. And I'm like, no. It's my buddy from the gym, Danny. And you go, I heard you say, take it all, Danny. And there's a long pause. And I go, he's a really good buddy.
Awkward thing that I always have to do on my podcast. We got to go to break quick.
Yeah, you're right.
Bill, you're not supposed to read that. That's for the hosts of the show.
We will be right back.
You know what? I was trying to beat him to it, but he beat me to it.
Listen, you guys, we don't have many rules. The chat is for the hosts. Bill already read
right.
the.
He's right, though.
All right. Bill, send us to break.
We'll be right back after this break.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know that feeling when you just have something you need to get off your chest? It's like a rain cloud following you around in your life.
People all carry around different stressors, big and small. Everyone has stress, but we all handle it differently.
When you keep your emotions bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
We talk all the time about how much therapy has benefited us.
Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced a major life trauma. Therapy can help everyone with daily challenges with friends, family, and other relationships.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/realfriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/realfriends. Have you tried the new Target Circle? It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. And try the new Target Circle 360. It's for the VIP Target shoppers. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year membership. That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Dude, I saw that coming. I was like, yo, we should go to, I was about to say we should go to break. Oh, and Jamel. Bill beat me to it, and then right away.
Jamel, you heard how hide the producer notes from the guest, Joel.
So sorry.
Because occasionally we will have a guest with the audacity to read the producer note.
Dude, because listen, this is how it was. I was going to punctuate your joke with, and with that, we'll be right back. But right. Before I could do that shit.
So then Danny comes in the living room and she goes, some skank just called and I told her to back off. Her name is Deborah or whatever. And I'm like,
Barbara.
Yeah, that's my mom. So Bill, I have to ask you, you have, it's a tricky thing for you because you have your wife on the show and Cox is telling, there's like a thing where Cox has a crush on Dr. Miller, but like that would mean that his eye is straying from the glory that is your beautiful wife. Is that weird to write? Like, do you have to tell Krista, like, oh, just so you know, this week Cox is gonna have a crush on someone other than you?
No, look, there's two things. One was I'll tell you the funny one at the end, but the one thing was we wanted to do like the mature female version of Where Your Relationship's At, which is just acknowledging that like people find other people attractive, people, you know. And so I really liked, I remember there's a joke in this with like Dr. Cox is like, people ask me if we're married, I say no. Like, what do you say? Oh, I say we were married for a long time and then we split up, but now we have a child together and we're in a committed relationship and it's great and amazing. You know, and he's like, right. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes I say that. but the other joke, no joke, is Krista and I used to joke around how work is the only place I can tell her what to dress and what to say and how to look and stuff. And so part of this was me going, it might be sexy for Krista to have blonde hair. And so the end of this episode, if you remember, was as a wink to him, she kind of changed. She didn't do it all the way and we had to help it with a lighting effect, but she changes her hair at the end of this. And I remember just from a total, you know, in love husband thing going, what a cool corny excuse to have my wife mix her look up. And that was really fun for me.
That's funny.
Made me laugh.
Nice.
That's cool. I was just thinking of Krista being like, No. Cox is not going to have a crush on someone.
Yeah, no one would think of anything. Yeah, but she can't play that way. How many times has Krista told you in front of me who she is flat out in love with and believes that she should have, you know, a free pass for? It's unacceptable.
I remember, I don't know, did you tell the Clooney story?
It was one of our first big fights.
Tell the Clooney story. Clooney was her hall pass, quote unquote.
Chris and I, when we were dating, joked around about, like, who's your free pass? You know, like, if you run into them, you're allowed to hook up with them without the other person complaining. And I said, whoever mine was, I don't even remember. And then Krista said George Clooney, which is a typical answer, so I didn't care. But I didn't put it together that the Drew Carey Show and ER were both Warner Brothers shows. And literally, like, a week later, I came to work, and she was sitting on her trailer stairs with George Clooney having a coffee. And I'm like, you can't pick somebody that you see every day as your free pass. I feel like that's not part of the game. And she's like, no, we were just doing free passes. I'm like, no, that was so insane.
No. You can't know your free pass. It has to be like something that's unachievable.
Yeah, you can't just have come with a conversation from your free pass and say, you know who my free pass is?
Who brought up the free pass?
I don't know. It might have been me, so fuck that. She's like,
hey, Bill, this is my free pass, George Clooney.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of George Clooney, Bill, do you think Richard Kind would come on the show?
I do, and I think it would be super duper fun. You know, I would love to have him on the show.
All right, Joel, let's get Richard Kind because he's in 320 coming up, and he's so funny, and I think audiences would love him, and it is a bit of funny trivia that of all people in the world, he's George Clooney's best friend. I would have gotten that wrong on every quiz.
But by the way, never, you know, on a show that we do so much with just the people that live in our worlds, never has a guest star come in and been somebody that we've all quoted so much. Still, I've got Yaba.
I have been to the zoo.
I have been to the zoo. Go on. Continue.
That would make me super happy.
I have. I just love that guy. He's one of those people that I see and I just start laughing. He was on a show. I don't know if you guys ever watched this show. It's very funny. There's only one season because I think they stopped because of COVID, but it was called The Other Two. Is that what it's called? Joel, double check for me. It's kind of a 30 Rock tone silliness, but it's about a kid that becomes like a Justin Bieber superstar and his two fuck up siblings. And Richard Kind plays one of their agents. And, you know, he just has a small part, but every time he's on screen, you just start hysterically laughing.
That guy is money, as he's instant laughs, and he can really act. I mean,
he's a really good actor, too.
Yeah, rock star. Love that dude.
I was a little caught off guard that Kelso was trying to sabotage the hospital until he explained why he was sabotaging the hospital. That was something that kind of threw me, like that was a dun-dun-dun moment, and it caught, like, I was confused. And then,
what do you mean he's still trying to sabotage the hospital?
That he was taking the emergency thing off the door because he gets to his car quicker.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't.
I remember his reason is one of the most disturbing jokes we ever made Ken say. Do you guys remember?
He has to get home before Enid. So because if he doesn't, he has to peel her something.
It's the word peel. It's leotard. It's leotard.
He has to get home before she's done with dance class or something like that.
She has a spin class or something. And if he doesn't get home before her, he has to help peel off her leotard.
Yeah.
And
I think it was Jazzercise or something.
it's really an upsetting joke. Because you know why? Because he loves Enid, man. We did that joke too many times. I think he loves his wife.
I don't know whether he loves Enid. He has so much mean things to say about Enid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the worst one ever was when that Baxter and Enid had divided the house into equal size. And Enid had ventured into Baxter's side of the house. And he just said, here, all you got to do to scare him away is make a real aggressive sudden move. And he says, go. And then you just hear a dog growling and biting and he hangs up laughing. So he had his dog attack her. It's horrible. A horrible man.
I don't know
man.
If that's love, buddy.
But does he love Enid, Bill? I just don't know. I mean, I don't know what
you know what's weird? We talked a lot about it. I think we never would have been able to do any of this stuff. It's so interesting in television shows if Enid existed. And if you ever saw a person, a sweet woman, a character or whatever, I think we would immediately go, he loves her. They're okay. And he's all full of shit. But with a second in any type of creative narrative that you don't ever meet the person in question, it gives you such license to be horrific or funny or bizarre and stuff. So it's not unlike, look, you guys know the show that started it. I mean, it's Norm and Vera in Cheers.
Yeah, I'm about to say right. This. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
The only one I remember after Norm and Vera from Cheers was, I remember the guy on Home Improvement, which I didn't watch a lot. They did right. Such great effort to always block his face.
Yeah.
I forget what his name was. Right. Yes. What was his name, Daniel?
Wilson. Wilson was the character's name.
Oh, yes. Wilson was the guy behind the fence.
Yes.
Wilson. Anyway, it is called The Other Two Guys. I found it.
It is.
My friend Helena York is on it. I highly recommend you guys watch. I laughed my ass off, and I wish there was more episodes, but I guess they're on pause because of...
Are Jordan and Cox married?
At this point, they are not, but I have to be careful about that because we do an episode at some point. They find out that their divorce wasn't official, so they get re-divorced. And if you guys haven't done that episode yet, then they are technically still married. Do you guys remember doing a podcast on that episode yet?
We haven't done that episode yet. No.
I actually wondered when Bellamy came in, I went, oh, is this going to be a love interest for Cox? And Donald was like, no, he's not. He's in a relationship with Jordan. And then this episode started to be like, oh, but they start to have a thing. I didn't remember what happened between them.
Yeah, you know what it was? It's just that we enjoyed for him doing as he gets closer to Jordan, that very traditional, lots of fears and lots of pulling away. So much so that it's the precursor to the episode. This episode helped us with the episode that they're doing great as a couple, but when they find out that they aren't actually divorced, that it was screwed up and they're still technically married, they start to fall apart again. And that's coming up later.
Right. This is a question. Is that what the purpose of Bellamy's character was on the show? It just seems like that character was there and then all of a sudden she was gone, like really
no,
quick.
You know what it was is, I think, and I can go back, but I think Bellamy, you know, started much like Gift Shop Girl, if I remember her name, that got a
Sarah
bunch of work
Lancaster.
On Chuck and stuff. Sarah Lancaster was somebody that immediately started to get work and get other shows. Mm. I think she joined us because Charles was unavailable and we liked you having a superior. Charles Chung, you know, who played Dr. Wen, we didn't have him for 1 year section at one point due to a health issue that he had an accident and broken it, and one point due to him doing a movie or something. And then he came back to our world. So it was at least initially a product of be nice for, Turk to have a boss, you know, and then, you know, we weren't really going to do the romance thing because Cox was with Jordan, just wanted to have that kind of be an episode real quick.
Right. And also she was a good foil for Cox because even if there wasn't going to be a romance or a very mild one, she was like a tough cookie and a woman and someone who had, you know, cojones. And
I was about to say some big ass titties. Wait, what?
That's what
Turk says when he's freaking in the thing with
big ass titties.
He goes in some big ass boobies. That's exactly what he says.
I think you could say boobies on NBC, but not titties.
Yeah.
Right, Bill?
And
I fucked the joke up.
I was about to say it should come hand in hand with the disapproving head shake you got from Joelle. Either way, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But that's what it was from. You guys are thinking I'm trying to freaking make a sexist joke, but it's from the show.
It's from the show. You're fine.
In your face.
You know what I loved, by the way, and Bellamy's a great example of it. I always love when because of you guys, and I am so grateful, and it's your podcast, which is annoying. It's Danielle, Joel's, and Donald's podcast.
Oh, my God.
But not Zach.
That's right. No, it's Zach's. It's Zach's. And I'm so grateful to get to occasionally come on it and see it and talk to you guys about it and listen to it. I go to sleep listening to it. My favorite thing about watching these old episodes are when you see actors and actresses that we caught at a certain point in their lives or careers, not like Richard Kind, who had already done a bunch of stuff, but like Bellamy, who had gone on to become, you know,
the president of the United States.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so, or Sarah Lancaster, who was suddenly, you know, or Mossy, you know, who was on in Hero.
Dave Franco or Aziz.
Yeah,
you
know. Yeah, to me, that's so fun, you know, to see the people that can, you know, crossed our world and then went on to not necessarily bigger and better things, but just kind of more fun for themselves.
Michael J. Fox really launched his career.
I know. And to see him get his foot in the door like that and then to do what he did with it. Yeah, but it was fun, man. That's why I like seeing Bellamy on the show.
It's fun to go
back. Really is interesting, the people that were on Scrubs. Like, you guys probably don't remember this, but what's the gentleman's name that's married to Sofia Vergara?
Oh, yeah. He was a football playing dude that tortured Zach.
He was on Scrubs. He was on Scrubs before
he was in True Blood.
Yeah.
He was in True Blood.
He wasn't in True Blood yet either. I ran into him before.
No, I mean after that.
Yeah, he went to Joe
Manganiello.
Yeah,
Joe Manganiello. Yeah.
He was in a segment where he was like a jock, right? And he said something like, "Let's all go bang" or something. Like they turned out they were gay. I forgot what the joke was.
Yeah, and I remember seeing him on that show as a young dude. It's just fun with all these people that kind of cross paths that way. Oh, Eliza Coop, who went on to star in 9,000 different things. I think we were one of her first gigs, you know. Mm-hmm. She was awesome. Just makes me happy.
So JD just really, there's this one little subplot we could talk about how JD and Danny are staying together solely because they don't want to be alone. And I think that there's probably a lot of people who can relate to that. Maybe now more than ever during a pandemic, when they're just like, "All right, I'm so over you, but you're my pandemic buddy. I can't date anybody else."
You sound like my wife.
Badoom-tss. Daniel, give him a badoom-tss.
Yeah, but you're totally right, though, Zach. And look, this episode was supposed to be jokey, but because you asked about the Dr. Cox, I distinctly remember, especially since we had Donald and Judy being the couple attached to the hip telling everybody why they suck, is we were trying to parallel all those things of one, universal, being alone. You'll almost rather be with somebody horrific than be alone. With two, if you aren't alone, you're able to also defeat yourself by going, "Oh my God, I'm getting more and more dependent on this person. I need to sabotage it immediately." Dr. Cox. You know what I mean? And
it's fun. And then the Elliot thing, which is like, "Oh, we're long distance, so we barely ever see each other. So we can be exciting and into it in 2 week intervals, because who can't be their best self for 2 week intervals?" You know, there were like all these different examples, but I feel like a lot of people can relate to being in something and feeling stuck. And I bet now more than ever, where they're just like, "Ugh, I don't want to be alone." So
do you think it's that, or do you think it's because a lot of people fear confrontation, and that's something that you just don't want to deal with?
Confrontation, I'm sure, and the drama of a breakup, which is always horrible, especially if it's a long relationship. But I just think that there's a lot of people who, and now, like I said, now more than ever because of the pandemic, are kind of like, "All right, this has to end, but like this is fine for now, and I'm just going to endure it. And yeah, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone." And I think that JD in this situation is like, the love of my life, I've realized, is making out with a guy that looks like Scott Foley, and she seems so happy. And here I am, and I've got Danny, and she's just so not for me, but I don't want to be alone, so she's fine, you know?
Right.
It would be bad for Donald and I to agree with this in any way as two happily married guys.
No, but you can comment on it.
I honestly don't think that's what it is. I think, yeah, sure, he doesn't want to be alone, but he keeps telling her to go away. You know what I mean? And so it's not really he doesn't want to be alone. It's just that it's hard to explain. Like,
why is he with her then? Why is
I don't
he, why,
I don't know. Like, that's what I'm trying. I think the pressure of her being around. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that it's really weird for him to say, "I don't want to be alone," and then tell her to go away.
Well, because he finally has enough. I mean, she's
no. I mean, while before like, they're at the bar, and he's like, and this is how the whole conversation comes up. They're at the bar, and he goes, "Hey, you want to play darts?" And she's like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, go over there. There's the board over there."
He goes over there. He hates her. "Do you want to play darts?" "Yeah." "All right, it's over there."
And she turns around, and she's like, "Do you really have that? Are you really that miserable when you're around me?" And he's like, "I don't know," whatever she says, something like that. He's like, "I don't know." And that's how the conversation starts. So I don't know if it's that he's alone. He's scared to be alone because he keeps telling her to get the fuck out of here.
One thing I like about Danny is she says something that I liked, which is, when she's smoking in bed, he goes, well, you never used to smoke. Like, what's going on? She goes, well, before we dated, I was trying to be like my best self and I'm putting on like this character for you. But this time I think I'm just going to be like unabashedly myself. And JD's like sees who this incarnation of a person is. He wants nothing to do with it. But I think it's just fueled by feeling insecure and looking over at Elliot and trying to make Elliot jealous, not wanting to go home and be sad and lonesome.
Yeah, and by the way, let's be honest. I think there's a line. It's easy to be with somebody that you with if you're not mistreating them or they're not mistreating you. It's easy to be with someone you don't like. You know, there's nothing really at stake. You know, and I guarantee you, between the five of us, we were all at some point in our lives with a relationship with somebody that we didn't. You know, if someone pointed the gun to our head and said, "Do you care if this ends?" That we'd be like, "No,
no."
But it's right. Just.
Do you think when the pandemic? Easy. Do you think when the pandemic's over, like truly over, there's just going to be a slew of divorces and breakups?
Absolutely. I'm surprised they haven't happened yet.
No, I'm sure it is happening. I bet if you saw a graph of like separation divorce rates, it's climbing. But I just think like it's obviously not going to happen on a day. But if it happened, they were like, October 1st, we have officially conquered COVID. It's over. October 2nd, people be like, peace.
That's a wrap.
By the way, someone should do like a New Yorker cartoon of a married couple getting their vaccines together. And she's like, he's like, finally the vaccine. And she's like, I want a divorce. Right.
All right, Joelle, we probably need to go to break. I know it's Bill's job to tell everyone. And Bill, do you have to go?
We got a couple more seconds. We got a couple more seconds before break.
Shut up. Bill, do you have to go or can you stay?
I do have to go. I have to go. Guys, I have to go make television happen.
I was about to say, how many shows you got coming this year?
Yeah, talk about
your shows. I got a bunch of shows coming.
By the way, if you ever read Deadline, if everyone not in the business, Deadline is sort of the most popular trade website. And it announces things that have happened to people. And if a day goes by without Bill Lawrence getting another show, I think Deadline's broken. It's crap.
I'll do that some other time with you guys. I'm enjoying this vibe too much and the holidays. And Zach, that was a very nice present that you got Donald. And Donald, I loved the joke version of it.
I hated it. But it the only thing happy. I'm proud of you, Donald, that in front of Bill, you sold the shit out of that joke and fooled me.
That's a great moment.
But it was mean. You don't know how much fucking work I put into getting those shoes.
Can I tell you, this is why my wife and Bill are like soulmates from another universe, and it'll never happen in this universe, Bill. I'm just putting it out there. But they're soulmates from another universe.
Why she would do that shit?
She's the one that told me to do it.
I was like this.
Yeah. That's so mean.
And I know. And when she said that, I was like, that's something Bill would have told me to do.
That's so mean. Yeah. You know, Bill, I always say to Bill and Krista that they met at Mean Camp because they love a mean joke.
But if you have a backboard of love, if you know it comes from a place of love, it's okay. Yeah. And look, I also want to say, not only am I grateful for this podcast, but I do want to tell Donald and Joelle that my son, Henry, who is, you know, as much of a Star Wars psychotic as you all, did take the time as he was building his Lego Baby Yoda to say, even though he's not super down with this podcast, he would definitely make the Star Wars podcast a weekly thing in his life.
Tell him thank you so much.
Tell him thank you.
Goodness.
I don't know why I'm mad at that, but
I am. I'm mad.
By the way, it hurt my heart, Zach.
I know, it's so fucked up.
I like him though because he watched Scrubs beginning to end, and my eldest son Will. Not only will he not watch it, but it's a position of pride. He's now because he's already gone through The Office and Parks and Rec, and now he's just finding like other series at the time to watch. I'm like, dude, watch Scrubs. He's like, it's not for me.
But he does. But they both are jocks, and they both love Ted Lasso. I assume.
They got sucked in by Ted Lasso because it's sports.
Yeah, sports.
But anyways, happy holiday, happy new year. Thank you guys. I love you. I'm back.
All right,
time.
We love you, Bill, and we're going to go to break, and we'll be back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Have you tried the new Target Circle? It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. And try the new Target Circle 360. It's for the VIP Target shoppers. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
And we're back.
By the way, I Pelotoned today, and I got to say, Cody had me laughing my ass off. He's funny.
Which one did you do?
I did one that was pretty recent. If you're on Peloton, it's within a couple weeks, or it's definitely, it might even be this year. I don't know. But it was a you know, pop ride, you know, pop music ride, 30 minutes. And he just had me laughing. And my Florence and I are in the gym, and she's looking over at me, and I'm spinning. She's like, "Why are you laughing?" I'm like, "This guy's hilarious. He's funny.
He makes me laugh."
I think we should have him on the podcast.
I would love to have Cody on the podcast.
Because you know what? I wouldn't normally like just think of a random health, you know, fitness instructor, but because I think he was a stand-up.
Is that his thing? Is that what he did?
I think he was a stand-up. By the way, I love that before I took a lot of Cody classes, questioned that he might be gay or not, because this class, he's the gayest gay ever. It's so funny. He's talking about Vegas, and he's like, because he was playing that song, Waking Up in Vegas, Miley Cyrus. Is that the song? And he's talking about how, as a gay guy, he's like, Vegas is not made for me because, you know, it's all about... They give all the hot chicks free entrance into the club, and they're trying to make me pay $40, and I ain't trying to pay $40 to get in the club. And he went on this whole rant. It was so funny. Anyway, there were different things. There were multiple times. It was like, you guys, you're working out, and you're sweating your ass off, but you're also laughing because the guy's like a former stand-up comedian.
Funny. Well, a lot of people listen to fake doctors when they work out, so we don't want them to necessarily switch over to Cody when they're working out.
I wonder if Cody's the most used teacher.
Probably. I think the only way to make this work is if we can get him on the show.
I want to try and get Cody. I think his last name is Rigsby.
Yeah.
Cody Rigsby. Then he did this whole bit about, he had Celine Dion as one of the songs, and then he had this whole bit about how, like, I could see myself listening to this. I'm back in high school. Tell mom to pull the cassette out of the glove box. Anyway, I'm not doing it justice, but it was funny. The only thing that annoys me, does this annoy you, all the shout outs to people? Like, while you're spinning, they're like, so-and-so, congrats on your 100th ride. So-and-so, you got this. Like,
but it's like we do here.
There could be some quiet time.
But it's like we do here, man. You know what I mean? We shout out, you know, to people like, you know, Period and Sargent and, you know, Romney and...
You just gave Mitt Romney a shout out?
Ramon and...
Yeah, I know. I was thinking, by the way, as I was spinning and thinking this was annoying me.
Oh, you thought I meant Mitt Romney?
Yeah.
No, like Romney Malco, dude. No, what else? Okay.
But I wanted to say that, no, it just annoys me. Like, sometimes, like, it's okay to be quiet, you know? You don't have to give all the shout outs, but I'm going to tell that when we have Cody on the show. I'm going to give him notes.
Don't do that.
Even though he's probably the most popular Peloton instructor.
Please do not do that. Don't give Cody notes.
I can give Cody constructive criticism. You don't have to give all these people shout outs. My sense is they must have data that people say they like the shout outs, but it's annoying. I think it's annoying. Like, you don't need to give shout outs.
But if you reached your 10,000th ride.
Right. These people must be in such shape because.
10,000th ride? Holy shit, that's like years.
You can look on the leaderboard and it'll show you, like, I you can make it go away because I don't like looking at it. But if you're someone who's probably like Casey, who's like up there.
She tries to get to the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, these people, I can't believe how fast and how hard they must be spinning to be at the top of that leaderboard, because I'm like in the fucking nether regions. I'm like in outer space.
Like, whoever's number one or number two out of 28,048.
It's probably what's his name with the professional cyclists that won all you.
Lance Armstrong is probably at the front of that shit with all of his fucking steroids in him.
Yeah. Ah! Yeah. Lance can't compete anymore, but he's just fucking roided up on the Peloton. Beating his chest. Beating his chest. All right, let's let the guest in, Daniel Goodman. All right.
Let's give it up for Tosh Gray.
All right, there she is. Oprah. Okay. Oprah.
Give it up for Tosh Gray.
All right, come on. Daniel, you got to cut that out. That was so annoying. People are going to turn off the podcast.
Daniel, I'm not turning my key. Don't cut that.
Daniel, cut that shit out.
Tosh.
Or mix it way low.
Tosh
Grant's
not going to turn your key. Tosh, don't turn your key.
Tosh, turn your key.
Don't turn Tosh it. Wants no, it. Fuck that shit right. No.
Tosh wants it. Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Daniel, is that I'm worried that Tosh is not going to get heard by as many people, because at that moment, they're all going to go, fuck this loud-ass podcast.
Oh, I think they could actually give Donald a run for his money. I'm pretty loud.
Okay. Well, we'll just mix it low then. Tosh, you're welcome. Hello. You're welcome. Tosh, welcome to the show. Where are you joining us from?
I'm from Australia.
Down under.
Yeah.
Well, good day, mate.
What time is it tomorrow?
That's correct. Yeah, it's Saturday morning here. It's 9:10 in the morning.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. Scrubs was very popular down under, Donald. I don't know if you know that.
It was?
Yes, very popular. I've been to Sydney, and I felt very, very, very important in Sydney.
I went and hung out in Australia way before I got Scrubs. It was for... Remember the Titans? We went and did press in Australia, and I found out that Clueless was pretty popular in Australia too.
Yes, they have a good sense of humor down there.
Yes.
I love Australia. I swam in the Sydney Harbour, which is crazy because I hear that it's loaded with sharks.
I don't think you're supposed to swim in Sydney Harbour. It's for boats. Why are you swimming?
Well, we were going to that little island that's like right outside of the Sydney Harbour. We took a boat ride and anchored like off the shore of that. And I jumped into the water and swam to the island and hung out on the island. And
Maybe by the island it was okay. But I don't know if you want to like jump in Sydney Harbor, but I don't know.
I learned that water is infested with sharks. It's like shark heaven. You know, when if it were to happen, if my fear of dying by shark were to happen, that was it right there. That was the closest chance I got to it. Like, I remember swimming through the waves and back to the boat from the beach and thinking all I was going to see was a big mouth coming from one of the waves to eat me, man. It was like, I was so afraid.
Was that in the Bahamas when we did the Bahamas episode? We went swimming at night, like skinny dipping drunk, and the people were like, oh my God, you guys, that is the prime shark feeding time. Like, what? You don't
know. Well, no, Rob said that there's two black tip sharks that swim in the at the beach area during that time, the reason why people were clowning us was because it was a thunder and lightning storm outside, and we were in the water acting. Yeah. We were so freaking drunk.
In shark-infested water.
In shark-infested waters with a lightning storm happening.
Yeah.
And we're laughing and everything. And that's how, that also, that's what happened with Randall and his foot, too.
Yeah, just say no to alcohol, kid.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. Have you tried the new Target Circle? It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. And try the new Target Circle 360. It's for the VIP Target shoppers. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tosh, what's your question for any of us? Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello. Well, thank you. How are you guys going?
We're okay. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, good.
How is it over there? You guys are out and about though, right? You're not on lockdown, are you?
Well, some states are. So Queensland, which is actually my home state, the south part of Queensland is in lockdown this weekend. I don't get the whole 3-day lockdown as opposed to like a little bit longer period. We did have a lockdown last year, like my city, but that was like so minimal. Victoria got hit pretty hard. They were locked down for quite a while. But all in all, we can go about. Life is pretty normal. We still have little hotspots and stuff that we need to be careful about, but definitely not like other countries, like the United States of America, you mean?
And, well, like Los Angeles, where like the trees have COVID. Everything has COVID.
That's insane. It's It's scary to think this is our new normal. That's all. Like, we just...
We're so under, LA is so underwater. I mean, it's such a shame because you'd think I would have hoped that, that Los Angeles could have done a better job. Could have been. I mean, I don't know. I live here. I root for the city. You know, it has a lot of problems, but I root for it. And I think it's embarrassing how horribly this has been handled here.
Yeah, and it's just been going on for so long now. Like, and honestly, it just feels like there's no end in sight. Like, this can't be our new normal. Like, everything just comes to an absolute grinding halt.
I think that the obvious thing is that the vaccine is going to be the only thing that unburies us, at least. Well, that's
the vaccine. Daniel said it himself. I think maybe Daniel didn't say. Maybe I heard Fauci say it, and I'm confusing Daniel and Fauci.
Daniel, Fauci, same thing.
You know, one of those.
They're both as wise on the topic.
They're both wise.
Daniel, why didn't you say I honored you? What the fuck?
You know, you never.
That's like Willis saying something crazy and Arnold not saying what you're talking about, Willis. I teed you up for your catchphrase.
You honor me, truly.
Thank you.
There's never been ever in the history of herd immunity. Natural herd immunity. Never in the history of herd immunity, right? And so where we are, right, the only time the reason why the Spanish flu became non-existent is because of vaccine. You know what I mean? And that's
that's the only
reason.
Is that true? I don't know.
This is the honest to goodness truth.
All right,
this is the
honest to goodness truth. It just sounds like you.
And so now we're at a point where everybody, and this is to each their own. You know what I mean? You know, do what you want. I feel like, and I don't want to conspiracy this situation, but I feel like there are too many people that aren't willing to take the vaccine, and then there are a bunch of people that are willing to take the vaccine. So so to make it so that essential workers, when essential workers are saying I don't want to take it, or to make it so that older people are saying, I don't want to take it. There should be a pool then, if that's the case, my opinion. Nobody else's opinion, but my opinion. There should be a pool where if you don't want to take it, it goes to the people that do.
I think Biden just is saying that he's going to change it. They've been holding the second dose. So like if 100 doses come in, they hold 50 so that those first 50 that got it can have the second 50.
The second, right.
That was the Trump policy. And Biden, I believe, has just announced that they're not doing that. They're going to fucking give out the 100 doses and expect that the other ones are going to come in on time to give everyone their second dose. Yeah. I have no idea if that's a good idea or bad. But anyway, let's refocus on our friend from down under. What is your question, Tad?
I just wanted to actually just show you my shirt as well.
Hey!
Oh, that's nice. An eagle. That's a cool eagle shirt.
That's a nice shirt, but that's not a fake doctor's real friend.
Yeah, we don't approve of off-market shirts.
That's not.
You're like the gal in the parking lot that buys the off-brand concert shirts. I'm just kidding.
I've had
it's cute.
For like 5 years.
I'm just kidding.
It's, oh, wow. It's wonderful.
She
I love
said
it.
OG fan.
Yeah, it's OG fan.
OG. All right. OG.
Go ahead.
Okay. So my questions, and I'm. Was trying really hard not to be lame and actually read them, but you know the nerves do kick in a little bit. So, like your friendship, both you, Zach and Donald, like everyone who knows you and listens to you and watches the show and what have you, just see that the incredible bond that you both have. And you know when you spend so much time with people that you start easily mirroring their behaviors. Do you recognize any of your own personal traits in each other?
We have a lot of the same catchphrases. Like we have a lot of the same. What you talking about, Willis's? Like, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
And we jack come on, buddy, from a Dave Chappelle, stand up, where he's talking about smoking weed with his best friend Chip. It was a stand where he's talking about chicken, right? Fried chicken. And how he goes to a restaurant and the guy's like, and he says, he sits down and the white waiter comes up to him and he goes, I think I'll have, and the white waiter cuts him off and goes, the chicken. And he goes, what? How did you know I wanted the chicken? And the waiter goes, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. And so Come On Buddy came from that.
I forgot that's where Come On Buddy was taken from. We stole it from Dave Chappelle's stand-up.
So we stole it from Buddy. But it became something that we said, like, for every time somebody was bullshitting, we said it. And so that's where, so we have catchphrases that we, but as far as like, we're two different people. You know, we have the same sense of humor. I would say that we do share in common, but we're definitely two different people.
Well, I would say that's the most interesting thing about our friendship, even had it not been on display for 9 years, is that we couldn't come from more different backgrounds and the exact same stuff makes us laugh. We don't have all the same interests, obviously, but if we're at an event or we're at a party or we're in an environment together and something happens, whatever, the exact same thing will make us laugh. We have the same thing makes us laugh, and we also have like a decade of inside jokes with each other, because you know how often are you spending this much time with your best friend? I mean, most people never will, but we spent so many hours being silly together. That was our job. It's like our job for a decade was to like be together and be as funny as we possibly could. So I think that we just have, like, I could make a noise and it'll make him laugh because he'll know that inside joke, you know?
It's really interesting. It's like, you know, I think that's also what makes our friendship so strong, is that it comes from a very happy place and a very, it comes from laughter. I think that was the first time our first time laughing together was like, yo, this feels good. Let's keep the ball. Let's keep it going. And we've been together ever since.
All right. Yeah. Next question.
Horrible. Okay. And actually, I didn't realize this because I obviously not an actor and I don't know nothing about.
Not yet. Or, not yet.
I really can't see that ever happening. But like even just listening to the podcast, there's certain things that you, Zach, especially, you've done that I go, oh, wow, that's actually not him acting in the show. That's actually him. Your laugh, both your laughs are so infectious.
Yeah.
Cracks me up. So with your actual characters on the show, do you think any of your characters rubbed off on you, or did you put more of yourself into the character, into your own characters on the show?
I think that they were the reason Donald and I got the parts was that we saw what was so funny about each of the characters and then and embodied them. And then once Bill saw us and the pilot was picked up, keep in mind, you don't write any of the scripts past the pilot until it gets chosen, and you make the pilot and then you wait and then it gets chosen. And then the showrunner Bill hires a writing staff and then you go off and make two through whatever. And I think when they started making two through whatever, they were able to use the real friendship that had already started between Donald and I and just start, you know, shaping it around who we were. I think, you know, good writers, when they have the opportunity, will go, let me write to who that person is. And I think that little by little, you know, lots of traits of who we are became who the characters were. Right, Donald?
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I ship that.
I ship that. I thought ship is when you root for a celebrity relationship.
Ship is when you put any couple together. A lot's often used when describing fandoms, particularly couples that didn't make it to screen, but you wanted them to.
Oh, I see.
The relationship is...
So, Donald, I don't think I've ever said this to you, but I think you may have used this this term incorrectly.
I think I did. Slang. I want to take it back.
You've always been my sensei when it came to pop culture slang. And I think you, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, Jedi Master. I think you used ship wrong.
No, because there's a relationship between the writers and the actors that you're talking about. So I ship that.
Joelle, buzzer.
Oh my God. I don't like being in the middle.
All right, Daniel, would you put one of those, you know, in the Family Feud? You know, in the Family Feud when you get three X's?
Yep,
put one of those there, please. All right.
I don't fucking get an X.
Yeah,
survey doesn't say. You don't have a fucking survey going right now. This can't be a committee. This is not a committee. There's not enough of us to discuss this as a committee.
We asked 100 people if Donald's definition of ship was right or wrong. Survey says what?
X.
I would like to host one
episode. Not one person said that shit, Joel. Not one person. Not one person agreed with that. I disagree. I disagree. Survey says shut the fuck up, Zach, and let's move on.
All right. That's funny. Survey says shut the fuck up. It's funny. Does Steve Harvey still host Family Feud?
Yeah, he's great at it, too.
By the way, Steve Harvey is very funny, but every time he makes me laugh, it's the same fucking thing, which is the deadpan face.
Right.
The deadpan Steve Harvey look away, the shit where like someone says something outrageous and he just deadpans looks away. That will make me laugh every single time. It's incredible. And he obviously knows it because he puts it in every Family Feud episode I've ever seen.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't know if there's ever like a guest celebrity Family Feud host.
Do you ever watch?
I would like to do it.
Do you ever watch? Oh, right on. Yo,
I'm not going to Richard Dawson and make out with everyone, but
let's put it out there, y'all. Yes. So let's put it into the ether. Family Feud, if you're ever looking for a celebrity guest host.
Yes.
Zach Braff is willing.
I've never had a desire to host a game show, but it just came to me that I would be a great Family Feud host. Because I would do the Steve. I would do the Steve Harvey. I would just copy.
You would do the deadpan?
I'd be like, Steve, thank you for letting me guest host. You go off on a yacht somewhere. I'm going to do your deadpan Steve Harvey look.
Yeah, you know what? When it comes to Family Feud, that always is the term that is associated with the host. Go off on a yacht somewhere because you've got that crazy ass money. You know,
I think Steve Harvey has like 11 jobs, and he must.
Don't you think Richard Dawson did too? And don't you think like Louis Anderson when he was hosting Family Feud?
I don't know. I don't know that either of those gentlemen were ever as rich as I imagine Steve Harvey is. I imagine Steve Harvey like must be so loaded because the man. I think he leaves one very high paying job to go do another high paying job.
Right. Steve is, yeah, I imagine he's very, I don't know his bank account, but I imagine he's very rich.
Yeah, I think Steve's probably been on a yacht or two.
Internet estimates $200 million.
Yeah, there you go. The internet's never wrong, Donald. And the
never wrong. You get a lot of information from the internet.
Yeah. All right, let's do Australia's favorite segment, Donald. It's time to
Fix Your Life!
Hey, Daniel, maybe you can add a little dizzeridoo in this particular segment.
No problem.
It's just after it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, after the drill sound effect, Daniel, put a little... You look like you're chugging cock.
So did you. The only reason why you said that is because you looked like you were chugging cock. I didn't look like I was. I just
doing. Yeah, you're doing like this. audience, he's got two hands up as though he's giving a blowjob an enormous guy.
I had one hand up, and he's like, and I had a little tiny hole.
No, bro. No, your your fake dizzeridoo was like...
No, man, your dizzeridoo was like
sorry,
that. And when you saw your dizzeridoo.
There's two ladies present, Donald. Come on.
Listen, so and Willy Daniel's talk. Present too. Daniel doesn't want to hear this shit, don't you? You're the one who started it.
No, you should put Daniel.
Daniel's gone.
Daniel.
Oh, don't let
your oh my god. If you're a dizzeridoo player, your family definitely thinks it looks like you're chugging a big cock.
Oh my god.
For fuck's sake, just stop talking about your willies.
Sorry, Deb. All right. It's time to fix your life, darling. How can we help you?
Oh, man.
In the same vein of friendships and stuff, I have two boys, two young boys, a 14 and a 10-year-old, and they fight all the frickin' time. Like, it's to the stage that, not fisticuffs type fights, they just at each other all the time. Give me and my husband some advice. Like, how do we get them to get along? It's even to the stage that it's like nearly you're breathing my air type of fight. Like, just crap. It's not anything serious.
Well, Donald's good to answer this because he obviously has many children. Donald, how do you get your kids to get along? Your young ones right now. What do you do?
Well, I really can't answer that because they're out in the back yelling at each other. Like, I'm all I hear is my son screaming. Cause she's on they go at it, man. I think that's normal. I think that's all kids. I remember when I was a kid and my brother and I, we used to go at it, like, for real, for real. I have scars on my body and in my, like, I have a a hole. I had a hole in my head at one point from fighting my brother, who's 3 years younger than me, but he's bigger than me. Like, I can't call him my kid brother or my little brother because he's bigger than me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, people meet my brother, Dade. They meet my brother, and they'll be, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm his older brother. And they'll be like, I thought you were his younger brother. Like,
I did that's too, the, by the way.
Yeah, see? Like, I'm the older one, but Dade's the one that grew up a little bit harder than I did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's tough. He's scary. He's tough. You don't want Dade mad at you.
No, you don't want Dade. That is true. In my life, I've experienced that. I prefer when my brother's not upset and in that mode of aggression. Anyway, we fought like crazy when we were kids. Like, crazy. And it did come to fisticuffs, and we went at it. And I don't know, now he's my best friend. You know, when he's in town, we play golf every day together. You know, I named my son after him, you know, like, so it's like, I know they're at it. I know they're going at it right now, but look at it as they're bonding. I'm not saying let it go and keep and let them fight each other, but there's a lot of love in there. And and even though there's like, my son says, I wish I didn't have a sister. And inside, he doesn't wish that shit. I see how they play together.
Is there anything, Tash, that they like to do in common?
Regardless, even if they do, it'll last for like 2-3 minutes and then it's on. Like, one of them will do something and it's really, it's actually usually blessing. I mean, I love my children to death, but the older one just pushes the younger one's buttons a little bit. And it's, yeah. And my younger one's pretty chilled. He's not like impatient.
And like, do you, I mean, I'm assuming you do the obvious things like, you know, if you do that again, we're taking away your phone or something like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a tall order, as Donald can attest to. I mean, again, I don't have kids, but it's from having siblings, kids in that age, you know, especially boys, they're just wound up, you know, that's very hard.
It's kids period. Like, I'm sure Joelle remembers, you know, fighting with her brothers. You know what I mean? Like, it's just how it is. Whether it's a boy or a girl and a girl, a boy and a boy, it doesn't matter. They're going to go at it. That's just
my brothers.
There's not enough space.
I have a memory of my two older brothers, my sister and I were closer in age, and they were older than us. And they would be like the wrestling managers, and they'd get us all, me and my sister, all riled up. And they'd be like, our coaches in the corner, like WWF, old school managers. And they'd be like, you get in there, and you do, do, do. And my sister and I would go in the middle of the room and wrestle and pull hair. And then we would scream and just get everything we got. And then we'd get too hairy, and they'd separate us. Like, ding, 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 ding. Okay, good. You did good. Maybe don't pull so much hair, but okay, get in there.
Wow. Yeah, so your brothers were like, remember when we had all of that aggression? Let's take Shosh and freaking Zach and make them do that too.
Yeah, and they thought it was hilarious. I remember them being like, sitting back and laughing, being like, this is hilarious watching us go at it.
Tosh, do your kids have their own like space?
Oh yeah, we actually, funnily enough, we moved 12 months ago because seriously, 2020, I even forget about that year, so I forget that was 12 months ago. We moved because we were in a really small house, and I said to my husband, I can't do it anymore. We can't live in this small house. The kids are on top of each other. It's seriously, one would walk into the room and you could go 3, 2, 1, and then it'd start. And you're like, oh, for God's sake, like seriously. So we went, okay, we moved into this big house, and it is a big house. It's two stories. They got their own space, but they find each other. And it's just like, well, stop seeking each other out.
It's not enough room, no matter how much space you have. It's never enough room. They find each other. Like, my son has a room dedicated just to his self. My daughter goes to that room just to fuck with him. Just to fuck. Well, literally, he'll be like, get the fuck. I'll hear it. I'll hear her go to the room, and I'll hear, please get out. Please leave, Wilder. Please leave.
Oh, so she starts it too.
Oh, absolutely. He'll start off calm because he knows that, you know, we don't like, I have an issue. If something happens and he goes to 100, then there's no real discussion there. You've already gone to 100. See you later, right?
Yep.
So he tries to freaking maintain his composure because he knows 100 means there's, what are we discussing? You're at 100. I can't talk to you like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Please get out.
He's practicing. At least he's fucking trying.
He's Wilder. Down. Wilder. Please get out of my room. I said get out.
I can feel it coming.
Wilder, if you don't get out right now, I'm going to kill you. Get out of my room! It's like, yeah. And you hear it, and you hear it start, and you gotta get up there before. Get out of my! You know what I mean? It's like they can't help it.
You know what
they
you need do is that shit. You need the nanny from that show. What's it called?
Mrs. Doubtfire? I'm supposed to dress up like a nanny?
No, there was like these shows like Nanny 911 where she comes in. Yeah, you need one of those. They probably have one of those down in Australia.
Yeah. Mary Poppins?
I need Mary Poppins? Is that what you're telling me?
There we go.
No, there was a reality show, where like a woman who was like a British nanny would go and like set when parents were like, I'm out of ideas, help me. And then she would be like, set down stern rules. I mean, in all seriousness, if it does escalate to the point where it's just your life is being affected, you might consider a counselor, getting advice from a professional counselor. Because, I mean, I'm sure that some parents, you know, it's normal. The kids are going to fight. But if it reaches the point where you and your husband are like, what the fuck do we do? This is out of control. You might get, you know, get some counseling from someone who's a kid specialist who says, you know, here's some tools, because I certainly don't know what those are, but I imagine someone can have some Jedi mind tricks for your kids.
Well, yeah, tools always do work. They work for a little bit until you forget that you have these tools that have been given to you.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure that they do love each other, because they do, like, you know, when anything ever happens with friends or at school and stuff, like, the other one's, like, in there, oh, I'll come to school and I'll help you sort that out. And it's like, no, you won't. You actually will just pump your brakes. But it's just that they, that antagonistic behaviour, and it just does our head in. It's like just some days there's just no harmony. Some days are fine.
This podcast doesn't really have a lot of positive inspiration to having children, Donald.
If I may, I obviously don't have children, but I just want to parrot something that Casey said before and just start with the question. Do you allow your kids to play video games?
Oh, good. Of course. Yes. My three gamers in the house, husband and two kids.
That's where it starts, man. My kid gets the most aggressive right after he plays that video game. After the video game, that's when I get to go, Dad, I should have not having it.
I thought Daniel was probably about to say, is there a game they like in common, right?
Yeah, that is where I was going.
Keep him off the games, man. Keep him off the games.
Daniel's going to cry. Daniel's going to swipe a tear away.
No, Daniel's a grown man. I'm sure he knows what video games can do to a grown man, and how grown men can stuck in the game, like I'm staring at the microphone and I can't get off the game, and my whole life is surrounded by a game. Imagine being 6 years old or 7 years old or 12 years old, and your life is now involved with all it is a game. Dude, that shit's, get them off the game. That's real talk. As a parent, I see my son's best behavior when he's not playing video games.
Oh, look, you don't have to tell me twice that.
I don't think we're helping today, Tash. We tried, but I don't know if we can say you're welcome, Donald. I think this might be the first time we've been stumped.
I can say you're welcome. I can tell her you're welcome. You know why?
Why?
You know why? Because everybody, you're not alone in this. This is how kids are. This is how siblings are. And I promise you, if they don't kill each other now, when they're older, they're going to love each other. They're going to love each other more than anything. And the way you nailed it when you said it. If somebody were to beat up on the little one, the older one would be there so quick, because only he's allowed to beat up on the little one. You know what I mean?
My one idea would be like, you know, take their favorite thing away. I mean, like I said, take their, like, you know, if you raise your voice like that again, your phone's going to get taken away. Take their video game away. I mean, I'm sure you've tried all the obvious things. What do I know?
Do you want me to get Casey, Tosh?
No. We've run way long, and it's time to go.
I'll get Casey.
No.
Okay.
That's your other side. Also, you and Casey are going to do a parenting podcast.
Set it up.
All right. Listen, Tosh, you can stay on for the end, because we finished the show. It was a very good one. And what can we tell you? We love you guys, right? Don't we,
Don? Yeah, we do.
Thank you for listening. We love you from Los Angeles all the way to Australia.
Thank you for the show. Both shows. The podcast, And the show.
The way we're recording the show now, we're like a week, we'll be a week behind all of your major events and stuff like that. So for those of you who were worried that this podcast is getting too political, we'll be so far behind on policy now that it won't be relevant when we talk about politics. So guess what? Your prayers have been answered.
Yeah.
You're welcome. And there so you go. Fix your life. You're welcome. Okay. You're welcome, world. Fix your life. You're welcome.
You pivoted to your welcome Earth.
You're welcome.
All right. We love you, everybody. We'll see you next week. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.